Episode 58. A phone is our connection to our family, our friends, our colleagues, and our clients. So it goes to figure that some point in time, each and every one of us will get a call from someone asking for help and a bit of guidance. Let's explore in this episode how to reply in kind and make that person's day turn around to find a bit of balance to remain steady on. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Hello, you leaders of chaos, you wandering browsers who are just visiting here for the first time, and all you subscribers, welcome back to the show, and welcome if this is your first time. We are in the middle of an ongoing series called The Leading Chaos Story, and this is part 38. And I'm calling this episode this week, it's titled Call Me, and it's about talking to a person on the phone when they are in crisis. There's just so much there that we could do and really help folks with. So I want to go to that, but I first want to just kind of catch things up a little bit. I've been reading from this ongoing series. It's coming out of my book, which is titled Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And this work is what I do. I do crisis intervention training and curriculum. I am the CEO and founder of Response Training Programs. It's a staff development curriculum. It's also used for clients and for community, teaching everyone like a universal language. When the shoe is hitting the fan, and don't we know that the shoe hits the fan more than we want it to, that we all have a common language and a way of approaching things. And I really liken it to first aid. You know, if I went anywhere in the world and I had a cut on my finger, pretty much anyone that came to assist me would say, hey, apply pressure and elevate. I mean, that's good common sense, right? It makes really good sense. But when a person is in dire need, when they are having an emotional crisis, which is really different than a medical crisis, we get a little like out of sorts. We don't know what to do. So that's what my work is trying to really teach people a common language that could be used in any crisis and used as a guideline in what I also call the response protocol. And that's what the book details. And that's where we're going through each chapter. And I'm still in chapter, which is titled Don't Forget to Breathe. And I'm just kind of squeaking it out. I'm just having so much fun digging deeper and deeper. So that's what this is about. And this is the podcast, which we call Leading Chaos. It's not to like incite chaos by any means. It's to lead it towards safety, clarity, kindness, compassion. I mean, if you don't choose to lead chaos, well, chaos is going to lead you. So we might as well take the position that we can be empowered to manifest our own destiny there. I mean, there's natural disasters. I could be out in a lightning storm and it could be crashing and burning all around me. I wish I was like some kind of mythological creature that could go up into the sky and grab the lightning rod and redirect it towards a safer direction. But I can't. I have to like think clearly and say, hey, you know, what do I do when there's lightning? You know, I better get myself into a low position and protect myself. Don't be like a lightning rod. Well, that's natural disaster. But emotional scenes where there's just people, mob mentality, or people in a real fractious state, we have to like be our own guiding post there. We have to be leaders. We could choose not to be leaders. We could follow. But if you're choosing to follow, you better choose a good leader to follow and someone who's going to guide you and hopefully keep you safe. Because if you're not safe, you're out on the limb. And that might be kind of fun if you're rock climbing. And I've certainly had my days on rock climbing and being hanging out there. But I always had safety surrounding me. So being purposeful, living life well, that's the Leading Chaos way. And that's what this podcast is about. I'm so happy for you to join. And I'm really appreciating seeing folks joining on the Leading Chaos podcast Facebook page. That's really sweet. And thank you, Laura B., for joining recently. Really appreciate that. And that's easy to find. And if you could, and any of you, take a little bit of time to leave a review and rating on iTunes. That means a lot. There hasn't been one there for a while, and I'd really like to hear what your thoughts are. And if you want to give a 5-star rating, I'd really appreciate it. That'd be so kind. Oh my goodness. So there's been a lot going on in the world, in my world. You know, I had this kind of crazy weekend where I was at a Halloween party, and I had to, you know, I got dressed up and stuff. And there was a scene where I was, you know, it was late at night, and this particular place I hang out has a fire in the backyard, and I was sitting out there, and I frequent this place quite a bit. It's kind of a neighborhood pub, if you will. And this young man came out and kind of shouted across the way, "Ree, you gotta like settle up your tab." And I got so like befuddled on that. Like it got me really, well, it got me really upset. So I called him over and I said, "You come over here and talk to me." And I, you know, so I'm a little, let me say, how do I say this? I could get a little emotional, and I trust my gut feeling. I trust my sense to know that when I'm feeling emotional, that actually I do have quite a bit of clarity, even in that emotional state. And I was able to convey to this young guy that you don't do that in front of people. You don't call across a beak open thing and say, "Hey, you know, come out of here and sell your tab." You walk up to a person and you do it in a civilized and classy and mannerful way. I don't know if you could put all that together, but have a little class and use your social graces. Especially if you're in a service industry, such as a waiter or a bartender, but also if you are a crisis clinician. Well, before I go on with the crisis phone call, I just want to finish this story. So he was really taken aback. He did not expect me to call him out. And I was kind of upset. I don't know why it hit me. So I guess I felt like I'd been going to this establishment for a really long time, and that they should be treating me with some respect. I wouldn't like call somebody out like that. And not that I was embarrassed, like I wasn't going to leave the place without paying. I've never done that actually in my entire life. And just not the way I roll. But I felt like you can't treat people like that. So I gave him a little bit of talking to, and I don't hold anything against him. He just was uninformed. And that's sometimes that I think leaders of chaos need to do, is help inform others and do that in a way that can be compassionate and focused with clarity. And that's exactly, that kind of is our little segue. That's exactly what you want to do when you're speaking to someone on the phone. Because more often than not, we are going to be doing a lot of work on the phone with someone, whether it's our job full time or we have a family or we have friends. Every one of us has someone that we know, whether you do this work professionally or not, who is in crisis. Now, you might be that person sometimes. Certainly, I've been in crisis when I've called somebody and I know what I want that person to say to me. And I'm really hoping that they are in tune enough to say the right words to me when I'm in crisis. But sometimes they're not. So I have to even guide them when I'm in crisis, which is kind of crappy. But, you know, when you're doing it professionally as I do, you know, it's not too hard. But maybe this episode this week will help us on both sides. So let's get in it. So going back to the book, and just to kind of redirect everybody, I am on page 122. Before I go any further, I just want to bring in our friendly Brontosaurus to set the pace. Here we go. Oh, that always feels so good to me. Oh, it just clears my mind. The Brontosaurus. Thank you. Thank you, Apple, Steve Jobs, for giving us the Brontosaurus. Oh, my goodness. All right. So on the phone, let's get back to that. I have done quite a bit of counseling on the phone because I worked as a crisis clinician, and I would have a beeper and I'd get that call in, and then I'd have to check in with a person and make sure that they were okay. And more often than not, they just want somebody to talk to. It wasn't necessarily a suicide line, but some of you might work on a suicide line. Some of you might be monitoring different police calls or fire calls and things like that. And when people are calling in, they might not be breathing at all. You know, they're just kind of babbling on. They're not making sense. And so it's our duty and responsibility to help them get stabilized so that they can function at some level to communicate. So what I begin with is then, I have this on the show notes, it's like really 3 points, and you could go to the show notes or not for this, but the first thing I always think of is directing the person towards present time. Now, if you are doing like a monitoring police calls or an emergency, you'll hear there's a really high level of training there in that the folks that work on the telephone lines there really have to get that information quickly. And I'm not going to address that. I'm going to address more the crisis call from a friend or family, or if you do crisis clinician work as I have. That's what we're going to focus on. So the person calls a little upset, as I have gotten many of those calls. And I'm going to bring this little episode where I had this older woman who called me, and she was, you know, I could tell she was just kind of, I could hear her moving around in the background. So the first thing I asked her to do was, or I asked her was, are you standing or sitting? And she replied, I'm standing. So, of course, when a person's in crisis, probably the best thing for them to do is to encourage them to, can you take a seat? Is there a seat near your phone? Or can you walk to a phone? And when I was doing crisis calls at one point, there weren't cell phones. People were hooked to the wall, you know, with the little phone cord. But nowadays, folks have cell phones. So you can ask a person to find a place to sit down. And before they go any further, you want to bring them back into their body, bringing them towards present time. And I've talked about present time in past episodes. That means they're sitting there, and I'm going to talk to you as if you're that person who is on the other line right now. So I would ask you, can you take a seat? That's great. Take a seat. Really good job. Next, what I want you to do is just put your feet flat on the ground. Okay, are your feet flat? Great. Wonderful. Now just kind of move your feet around on the floor. Just kind of twist your ankles a little bit back and forth so they're swiveling on the floor, keeping them flat, and just feel the solid floor beneath you. Your knees are bent. You're sitting. You're doing a great job right now. Get a little input from the person. If they're talking to me or if they're rambling on, I might next say, okay, you're speaking quickly. Let's slow down. Bear with me, because we're going to get through this together. And that's really enticing, all the way kind of bringing the person through. So present time is getting them physically, well, I guess I might say in a tangible way, connected to their position where they are right now, letting them realize whether they're in their body or not. I mean, that sounds really like, are you kidding me? But it's true. When a person is in crisis, they don't even know if they're standing or sitting. That's the first place you could start. So bring them into that present time. Have them sit and really begin there. You could also ask them, what were you doing right before you called me? That might lead them down the path. Or what I really recommend is still keeping them in present time and not going to that question yet and saying, can you get a glass of water? Is there any water close by to you? Or can you ask someone to get you a glass of water? This might mean that they have to get up from that chair again and go get a glass of water, but that's a good thing. Okay, I'm going to wait for a moment. Why don't you take a sip of water? Fantastic. Now, let's say that that person is standing and moving all around and they can't even sit down. And that has happened. Then we're going to go towards our breathing exercise. Say you're speaking quickly, just holding the phone. I want you to breathe in with me. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it, hold it, and breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Good. And breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe normally now. Now you notice that I did a different kind of breathing exercise than I've done in the past, because I was pacing my own breath so it could be very defined for the person on the other end. Is that breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, just kind of breathing in that way. Breathe out, 2, and I'm using my air to really enunciate what I'm wanting them to do. And it's hard for a person who is in crisis sometimes not to follow that, because breathing is so enticing. And of course, we're on the chapter, don't forget to breathe. So there you go. So it's key. We use that breathing all the time when we are directing someone towards safer ground and they are in crisis on the phone. Once we get to that level where they could do just some simple tasks, we're always acknowledging a good job. You're doing a really good job. I'm with you. You're speaking clear now. Let them know what they are doing correctly. Then if you could get them sitting down, have them remain in that present time. Get your feet flat on the floor. Your knees are bent. You could have them lift their shoulders, roll their shoulders. Anything to have them feel their body again in a way that kind of throws off the energy of the chaos and gets them landed. It works. It works so well. At least it's worked well for me. So I hope it works well for you. Some of the other simple questions that I ask of a person that, you know, I don't really get into the content until I know that they're feeling safe and steady is, have you had anything to eat yet today? That is an important question. And it takes people by surprise, because more often than not, they haven't eaten. When you're in crisis, you haven't eaten. So you're kind of in this mumbo jumbo way. So that older woman that, you know, I've talked to and who would actually call me quite a bit, sometimes all I would do is get her to sit down because you want to chat to somebody, have her have a glass of water and a couple crackers. So that brings her sugar level up a little bit of sustenance helps a little bit to give her clarity because she's not so lightheaded, and helps her get grounded. Water and food. Really simple things. So let's kind of review this. Three simple things you could do for a person doing some counseling on the phone is direct the person towards present time, ask simple questions, and use breathing exercises. You know, I have so many different situations where I did this, but the key in each of those situations was not bringing the person too far ahead, like keeping them successful in every step of the way. And I want to read something directly out of the book here that, again, I'm on page 124. It goes, simple questions that a caller can answer. Simple questions that a caller can answer provide attainable goals that are like stepping stones across a stream. If the stones are too far apart, the caller may not attempt to cross. Evenly spaced stones. I got to try this again. Simple questions that a caller can answer provide attainable goals that are like stepping stones across a stream. If the stones are too far apart, the caller may not attempt to cross. Evenly placed stones, like accessible questions that provide the caller with instant success, can be used as a foundation for the rest of the conversation. For instance, if the person begins to get agitated while explaining the reason for the call, you could mention his emotional control displayed just a moment ago. So That sounds really clinical, and, you know, Leading Chaos, Essential Guide to Conflict Management, is a little bit clinical. But this podcast isn't. So what does that mean? Just make it easy. Create stepping stones that they could step towards. I mean, we want evenly placed stepping stones. Don't make it too difficult. That's not just for a crisis call. That's for any time we are in a crisis intervention trying to help someone. Whatever we ask that person to do, we always want to make sure that it's attainable and doable for them. We don't want them to be unsuccessful, because that doesn't help anyone succeed. So one more time, direct the person towards present time. Have them seated. Try to get them out of that standing position. Make sure their feet are flat on the ground, because toes have a way of dancing when we're in crisis. So try to direct them so their feet are flat on the ground. Have them rub the floor a little bit. Roll their shoulders, move their body a wee bit. You could ask some simple questions to help assess the need and help the person regroup. Have you had any food yet today before we go any further? If they haven't, before they tell you anything, see if they have that. If it's not a real, like, imminent harm, danger, have them get some kind of food, or help them get directed on how they could find some food. And also use breathing exercises. It's as simple as that. And I know that I've had a lot of success with crisis calls, and they happen. It's not anything that any one of us probably can say, I've never had a crisis call. We all get it. If you're a parent, if you're a friend, if you have lovers, whatever, we get crisis calls. And certainly a lot of us have jobs that do that. So you might want to go, if you have the book, look at page 124 and 125. It brings us into a breathing exercise that you could use on the phone. Next episode, what I want to do is I want to talk about the power of suggestion and breathing with a patient. There's a scenario that I talked about at a scene, and we'll be closing up this chapter on don't forget to breathe. So, geez, this goes by so quickly this time with the listeners here, and having this chat with you. I really treasure this time, and it's a great review for me, and I hope you find these little tidbits useful for you. If you do, you know, you might want to follow along at the Facebook page that I mentioned, or on Twitter at Leading Chaos. And you could always send me an email to Rhea at leadingchaospodcast.com. And that's Rhea, R-I-A. I hope that the week ahead for you looks good and active and not too over the top with activity, but just right. And if it isn't, if it's feeling overwhelmed, realize that you just do the best you can. That's what life is about. We just do the best we can and really work towards maintaining our own integrity and not allowing chaos to lead us. So that's a wrap, my friends. And I just want to say thank you once again for listening. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and do the good work that you believed you could always do when you were that young person looking at the stars and thinking, I want to grow up someday to help others. Keep on rocking the stars. Ciao for now.